Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And always a fun week when TJ Miller's in town, and that's what's going on this week. But let's go through the whole week and tell you about the interviews today. They are with TJ Miller, but they're not from this week, but we'll get into why that is. But I think it'll make for a fun show. Starting out tonight as I record this, the 24th of February, we've got a 101 comedy class showcase at 7:30 p.m. These are the students of Bill Bouchard's 101 comedy class, and they're performing for you tonight at 7:30 p.m. And we do the same thing tomorrow night on Wednesday the 25th, another 101 comedy class showcase. I believe the students will be different across these. And, you know, there's a Saturday session of the 101 comedy class. There's a Monday session of the 101 comedy class. And that's who you're going to be seeing. So take a look at the lineups if you're wondering which one to go to and who's performing on what, if it's your friend or you just want to come out and see a bunch of new comedians do their thing that went through the class. Those are always fun shows. Very supportive with the friends and family. Good times. And let's just take a break here before I get into the weekend with TJ Miller. Comedy classes are starting up this week. I know mine starts February 28th. I've got just a few spots left for the advanced comedy class. If you've done the beginner class or you've got some experience doing comedy, come out to the advanced comedy class. Again, call the club to sign up for that or the beginner class. I believe Bill has a session starting this week on Saturday earlier. I believe he starts around 10 a.m. I start at 12:30. But again, call the club, 248-542-9900 to get signed up for either of those classes. And I think you'll have a great time. I know my current group of comedy students, they've got a showcase next week, so we'll talk more about them next week on Wednesday. The 4th of March is their showcase. But anyway, classes firing up again for the end of February here, so sign up for those. All right, back to the calendar with TJ Miller. Five shows this weekend, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 26th of February. 7:15 and 9:45 are our Friday shows with TJ. And then Saturday, the 28th, 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Those are your show times there. And, yeah, it's going to be a great time. TJ Miller is always fun. That's what we got for you as far as interviews this week. You know, I interviewed TJ. He's been on this show. I looked it up, and he's been on the show a bunch of times. I'm actually, before we get into that, I'm looking at the ticket sales, and boy, oh boy, it looks like the early show Saturday is sold out. So if you want to see TJ, get those tickets. Come on out. But anyway, I interviewed TJ in 20. He was on that show with Tom McCarthy a couple times. I interviewed him in 2023, pretty soon after I took over the interviews for this show, and interviewed him again in 2024. And so what you're going to hear today are the 2023 in 2024 interviews that I did with TJ, and I always think these are interesting with some, you know, hindsight and looking back on it, because, you know, I do these interviews, and yeah, you could go comb through the archives and get these over at comedycastlepodcast.com, but you can just get them now if you're on the fence about TJ or if you just want a little flavor before you come out to the show this weekend. There you go. They can get these with TJ. Hear these interviews, decide if you want to come or not come, or just go, I'm a fan of TJ Miller, let's listen to these. But here's a little original TJ Miller content before we get to those, because a few years ago I asked him to sit in with my advanced comedy class. He was unavailable on that day, kind of like he was unavailable today. We were texting the other day, and he said he was traveling today, and this was the only day that I could do it, so it didn't really work out. But I asked him, you know, if you could sit in with the class. He said he wasn't available for that one either. But he said, here's a message for your class. And he sent it over a text message. And it's several paragraphs long. And I did read this to the students back when he originally sent it. And I think it's fair to share this with you guys. A little advice on how to do comedy, how to get a career started. And his advice, I'm not going to read it in the TJ Miller voice, but... but here it is from TJ, and then you'll hear from the man himself. But here are his words, anyway, about comedy. I like this. Here we go. Comedy takes a lot. a lot of patience, hard work, and the ability to say, fuck it, I failed, and then get right back up on stage. Lately, I've been thinking about this. When you get frustrated or tired of one aspect of the art form, take a completely different route. This is the great fucking thing about stand-up. You are in complete control. Unlike acting, you can go to a completely different direction. Frustrated with writing, improvise an entire set, or do crowd work. Tired of going on stage with nebulous ideas? Write your bits out word for word, etc. I find that taking acting classes, improv, voiceover, any other entertainment education in tandem makes my stand-up better. So does reading, watching, and thinking about comedy. I'm at a stage in my comedy where I am trying to improvise. But that's off of having prepared for a special the every night with the exact same material. And now I'm quickly preparing for the first NFT special ever made. So I am now doing solely material with some crowd work and improvising, parentheses, very little. So being dynamic and consistently changing is important. But for now, focus on doing as much stage time as you can. That and a strong work ethic in writing and getting on stage will make you a very, very successful comedian. Trust me, I know. The words of TJ Miller from my comedy students, which I really liked, and reading those again, it is inspiring. It is inspiring to think about ways to change it, ways to get creatively inspired. And if you've seen TJ's act, you'll know just how fun it is. A lot of audience participation. It's different every time you see it. There are some core elements that he keeps the same. You never know how long it's going to be. You never know if he's going to be out in the crowd talking to you. You just never know with TJ. That's why he's such a favorite. That's what made him so funny in those Deadpool movies and pretty much everything he's done. I've enjoyed his specials. I know he dropped a new one on YouTube that you can watch. But do yourself a favor. Come out and get a ticket to see him, not just because you're seeing the movie star guy that you liked in that Transformers movie or Office Christmas Party, anything that he's been in. Come out and see it because he really is one of the funniest, most original comedians out there, and he's a good dude. I like TJ a lot. All right, should we go to the interview? Let's do it. So here's the first interview. This one's from 2023. Listen back to what I sounded like then. As I listen back to this, maybe I wasn't that happy with what I sounded like back then. I don't know. But here's that. And then immediately we go from this one into the 2024 interview, and then we'll close it out. All right, here's TJ Miller. All right, let's welcome back to the show. I'm not sure how many appearances this is for you, TJ, on this show.
Yeah, I think easily it's over 200.
It very well might be, but...
All right, no, wait, you know what? It's under 200, but it's over zero. So it's, okay. It's falling somewhere in there.
That sounds about right. Comedy Castle's become... Well, first of all, I'm speaking for everyone that works Comedy Castle. You are one of our favorite acts to have out because it's super fun when you're there.
Thank you. I don't believe you, but thank you so much.
You are. And it's always super fun. The place is packed. You never know what's going to happen. And I think in a good way. I don't think anything's bad happened with you there. So
no, of course. I mean, it's always different. The last time I was there, I filmed sort of a mini improvised special where I kind of did, I did improvisation and then I got, questions from the audience, and they came up with ideas for bits and all that kind of stuff, so it was really, really fun when I was there. And then this time I'm coming back and I'm shooting a special the weekend after this.
Okay.
And so that's really that's gonna be a lot of fun too, because people will get to see sort of the special and it's most refined. But then, I'll put it on tape and then I won't do that material again.
All right.
So this is kind of the last time I'm doing this special, which is called The Gentle Giant. This is the last time I'm doing that, for a live audience. So I'm really, really excited about it. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I did watch your last special that you were sort of working through, that Dear Jonah, which is really fun. And
yeah, that's a lot of fun. You can see that on YouTube right now. It's kind of one of the most beautiful and amazing specials that have ever been made.
Yeah, because
I say that with full confidence.
Well, if people can trust me a little bit more as a source on this, Jonah, when you figure out who Jonah is, were you feeling that Jonah's a guy in the crowd? I don't want to ruin the whole thing, but did you feel that he was somehow impeding what you were trying to do? Was there a point when you said, all right, this is bad, I got to nip this in the bud, or how did that?
So what happened was, I kind of, you know, you go and you do your special, and the way I've been shooting specials is I go to a club that's, you know, really amazing. In this case, it was Nashville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. a club called Zanies. And I also did it because I just had a really funny idea for a background, mm-hmm. The Zanies sign is, it's kind of, the font is like Zanies. And it looks like a marquee with lights around it. And so what I did was I had a fabricator make a bunch of different signs like that.
Yeah.
But with fake names for comedy clubs, like Chuckle Bucket and Crickets and Pun Comfortable Silences. And, it's really fun. I won't do all of them. But,
no, but I watched it and I was noticing. I go, boy, Zanies really is putting themselves down with all those wacky signs behind them, but that was your idea.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's all right. Idea. So, overall the idea was to go out there and shoot this special that I was going to call the pandemic special, which I would later find out would be a terrible idea because the algorithm sees that you've, if it says pandemic anywhere, then everybody would be getting ads about COVID-19 testing. Yeah. But so I, kind of mistakenly thought, oh, wow, I've done these, really incredible. Jokes and all this pandemic material, that has been, that everybody's going to love so much. And what was funny is, it is great material. A lot of it is in there, but every time you shoot a special, you're really looking for just one audience. Mm-hmm. You're kind of looking for that one audience that's going to be your special audience. And then you'll cherry pick from other, shows, mm-hmm. but you usually use primarily one audience. Yeah. And so, the first audience just wasn't that great. And my director, who's his first special with me, since then we've done two specials and we're going to do a third one coming up. And, it just was like, it just wasn't great. He came out, he goes, that's it, we got it. I go, no, that's not how this kind of works. And so then, the next show, that was on Friday, first show. So the next show I go to him, I say to him, this next show is probably not going to be that great because it's Tennessee. They're going to be drunk. And second show Friday, traditionally, is the really, really tough show for sure. And so I get out there and I, I'm ready for this drunk, raucous crowd. That's what it's going to be all about. I get out there and I start doing jokes and immediately I go, oh my God, this audience is amazing. This is the special audience. They are so, so, so good. And so I'm doing my show. And then, a little bit in, like maybe a minute in, some drunk guy in the front is heckling me. And I'm like, okay, TJ, just don't pay attention to him. Just pretend like he's not there. Maybe he'll be quiet, but he keeps kind of heckling. And it's a weird drunk heckling where he's sort of like, that's good. And then the next one I'll be like, that's funny because it's true. And so I'm just in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, this is such a disaster. So finally I said, look, I need to kind of acknowledge this guy. And I, And so I go and I ask him about his cargo pants, because I sort of sometimes I'll riff with the audience about the cargo pants. And I riff with the audience a lot. So I'm like, I'll just handle this guy and move on. So I ask him about his cargo pants. And as you'll see from the special, he sort of goes into this long diatribe about why he wears cargo pants. Now he doesn't keep anything in them, but he likes the way that they feel and X, Y, and Z. And it becomes clear immediately he is not drunk. Mm-hmm. He is not heckling. He's kind of developmentally challenged or special needs. Mm-hmm. However, yeah, it's spectrum, okay to talk about that. Yeah, exactly. And so I just say to the audience, I want you guys to know I'm not going to make fun of him at all. That was just a listening and learning portion of the show. And then I give him a compliment about wearing comfortable stuff. So then I kind of moved on thinking, okay, that was weird. But then he kind of, I sort of bring him back into the show, and then he interrupts again. And slowly the show became about sort of him and my relationship with him and my friendship with him that grows throughout the show. And then he has the funniest line in the whole special. And then at the end of the special, he's kind of the star, and we're, you know, he and I do the closer together. Mm-hmm. And it's just really, really, really fun. And that's why it's called Dear Jonah, because it started out as, oh, this is the material I was doing during the pandemic, all about me. And then it became about him. And it did two things that I thought was really interesting. It shows how I improvise with the crowd, which is a lot of mm-hmm. what I do and my strength. And that you never know what's going to happen when right. you come and see my show. And then also that I'm a kind person.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's really good example that exemplifies that I do this because I love people. And, you know, I wanted to kind of lift this guy up and make this just the best night mm-hmm. Ever for him. Right. And, you know, I think that's what happened. So it's really, thank you for watching. And I love people when they watch it, that his high school counselor watched it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, and a couple other people had watched it and said they started crying kind of at the end. Because it's really, really sweet.
No, it so, is. Yeah, it's real sweet. And normally, you know, heckler stuff doesn't really go that way. And sometimes you go, okay, this guy's a gold mine. I can really put him down. But he was really into the show. And you know, as much as hecklers want to say, hey, we're out, I was just trying to help. This guy actually does help in his own way.
I helped you out. Yeah, that's really ridiculous.
And then also, kind of on the same, because there is a lot of footage on your YouTube page from the Comedy Castle.
Absolutely.
You have a bit called White People with, as much as great as Jonah is, that crowd work that you did during that White People bit with that guy and his wife was unbelievable. Do you know the line I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I don't know if I want to say it. I think people should go watch it, but I mean,
go and watch it. Oh, but yeah, it was killer. Hilarious. And you know, that kind of stuff is stuff that happens, in places like Comedy Castle, because mm-hmm. the audiences are so great there. So, I mean, I'm so excited to come back, but yeah, there are little bits of magic that happen mm-hmm. every single show with me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's I think it's going to be yet another magical weekend there.
I would hope so.
And yeah, there's something about you know, I think it's the history. I think it's the audience that they've built. But there's just something about that club where it's just so, I don't know, it's just such a great club, and it's just always great shows. You rarely have a show there where you go, oh, geez. I used to always play it in conjunction with other spots, and I would tack it on and do two shows on a Sunday, and then I'd sell it and add a third one.
Yeah.
And that was really fun, but I much more enjoy being able to sort of be there the full weekend and see what that's all about and be a part of that. So, you know, I'm going to be there for the full weekend.
Yeah, I was there for that three show day. That was quite a day. We sold out. Yeah, TJ sold out like three shows. And I can't remember when they started, because, you know, on Sunday we try to get everything done early so people don't stay out too late. Yeah, it was like a long day, but it was super fun. I mean, just be like, oh, we're going to sell this one out too. And sure enough, there you go. So,
and sure enough,
there it is. All right. I wrote this down. How much Buddy's Pizza are you going to eat this weekend?
Oh boy. I almost wish you hadn't reminded me.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
Now it's going to be, now I'm excited now, but now it's going to be incrementally more than it would have been, which is zero. I think, you know, I got it. That's the problem with being on the road and being a gourmand or a pig, you know, however you want to say it. But yeah, I very much, I mean, you got to kind of get the Detroit style pizza. And yeah, I'm really, yes, for better or for worse, I'm really excited. I'll probably, I'll get in there at least one of the days. Yeah. But I, where was I last weekend? I was in Sacramento. And Sacramento just doesn't have anything that's good. So I didn't have to worry too much. But for whatever reason, they were really proud of their fried chicken.
Okay.
And so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't think to go there.
That's but, about. Yeah, right. Yeah, but right. But I did have some fried chicken there. I had chicken. Yeah, I had some fried chicken. Then I came across this place. I don't know what the deal was with it and how it necessarily just happened to be, you know, on one of my walking routes. But there's a place called World Famous Hot Boys.
Okay.
And it was a chicken spot. And they had something called the One Tender Challenge. And I put this on my Instagram.
Okay.
But I ate the, it's one chicken tender.
Okay.
And the challenge is because it is so hot. It is so hot. And I'm a hot sauce guy.
Yeah,
so
right,
I
was like,
all right, I'll at least try this. And so I took the challenge and it is, and I said, well, what's in it? And they go, well, it's, you know, it's habanero. It literally says on the sign, it says, really hot. Do not try this.
Okay.
And, she said, well, it's habanero, ghost pepper. And I looked at the thing, I go, Carolina Reaper. And she goes, yeah. And Carolina Reaper. I go, oh boy. But I just had to try it. And I'd been fasting, which is a bad idea, but I took just one bite. I wasn't going to finish the whole thing. There's no reason to do that. And it was pretty intense. I mean, I'm a guy who can kind of, who can handle that stuff for sure. But it actually was great flavor, which my favorite thing is when something is really hot, but has great flavor.
All right.
And so that was it. But I hadn't eaten anything. So I sort of had a bite where I'm walking. I spilled my water right before that. I don't know what I was thinking with that. So then I'm walking kind of like, okay. And it was really good, but then my stomach started hurting immediately. So I was like, I got to go and get food. Oh. And I just love the people that I passed by who just saw me going, like they didn't know that I just ate something hot. I just looked like some weird pervert that was excited about walking. So that was pretty funny. So, yeah, I mean, I like to try the local fare, and, you know, Detroit, their pizza is so good. And it's become kind of a thing nationwide.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is interesting too.
You go to New York and there's Betty's. Detroit places.
Yeah. I hope. Yeah, exactly. Lions, Tigers, and Squares.
Yeah.
Is one of those.
Right.
But it's so funny because I want to go back there and go to the chiropractor. There's a chiropractor right next to Buddy's.
Okay.
And that guy, we tried to eat like sitting on the bench in his front yard, and he came out and started yelling at us. Like, get out of here. You can't loiter around here. And that's so funny because I went in, I think beforehand, and I said, hey, can I, you know, get a chiropractor appointment? And he wouldn't give me one.
Okay. Wow.
He was like so mad that I tried to eat pizza on his property that he wouldn't let me pay him to do what he does.
Could you not eat at Buddy's because of the pandemic? Was that what was going on?
No, there's really no like place to eat there. There's no place to sit.
Oh,
down.
I know the one you're talking. Okay, yeah, you went to the takeout one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta go to
kind of.
Yeah, I'll tell you where to go. The real. You can go to real.
Yeah,
one.
You gotta. You bring me into the real.
I'll bring you to the real one. I'll bring you down to 6 Mile. That's the real one.
Okay, that's the real deal. I'll take.
You can play some bocce ball if the weather's nice enough.
I'm into it. I'm hoping the weather's good.
I'm not really sure what's going on with our weather. You never know, but
you really never know.
No, but you mentioned hot sauce, and I know after the show, because I'm usually the guy out there, you know, selling it. That's a big seller. No, and it's a huge seller. After the show, you can get TJ's hot sauce and peanut butter. And you mentioned to me before the show here, it's on Amazon. I'm looking at it right now. TJ's Choice.
Amazon.com.
Intense Ghost Pepper, Extreme Gangster, and Chipotle. It's available now on Amazon.
It's so delicious. Yeah, if you can't come to the show, get it on there. And then I also have my line of peanut butter.
Okay.
So I have my line of gourmet peanut butter. Excuse me. And it's really something. It is with three flavors. We have dark chocolate coconut.
That's okay. Delicious. Yeah.
And then we've got cherry chocolate with real dried cherries, milk chocolate, and honey roasted peanuts. And then my favorite is toffee crispy with toffee, milk chocolate, and Rice Krispies.
Right.
And, you know, that's really, those are really delicious. You eat them right out of the jar. And it's almost incredible how excellent they are. And well, it's so funny because who knew that I would become the Paul Newman of comedy?
Right. No, that's great.
I'm so, so, so in love with the peanut butter and the hot sauce, and I just stand by the product so much. It's so great.
It has
so you, yeah.
Your Amazon review, 5 stars on the peanut butter.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right
now.
2.5 reviews. There it is.
2.5 reviews.
No, there's more than that. But yeah, you guys got pictures of it up here. You know, opening it up, it looks great.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's definitely going to be there. See, I specialize in foodstuffs and improvisational comedy. So we've kind of gotten so far along the lines during this show for sure.
Well, I mean, look, no one's complaining about it. People seemed, I mean, you sell out of all of that stuff, at least at a weekend at our club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
It does
it's
not last. Deal. So come out on Thursday or Friday if you're planning on coming. Because if TJ's
right,
selling,
exactly
I mean, you can
right.
always get it on Amazon, I guess, but that's a little, you know.
No, you got to come because then we get to meet each other, hang out. I'm always loving that.
Yeah.
Because I love the good people of Royal Oak and Detroit in general. Mm-hmm. I really do. The audiences, like I said, I don't know how they do it, but the audiences are so, so good.
It's one of those things where it's just we've been there for so long. People know the show. I mean, I think with you, people know you and they know what you're about.
They come to the club.
Yeah.
In general, because
yeah, exactly. When it's they don't know who it is, but yeah.
Yeah. Which is, you know, a testament to the booking that Mark Ridley has done since, you know, forever.
Yeah, 42 years? 43?
I think it's so great. 44? Now he's primarily in Florida.
he's out there, but he's let me tell you something. That guy works. He's not on vacation, you know what I mean?
He was just teasing me. He goes, when you get to a certain age.
Yeah.
Because when you get to a certain age, the government requires you to just stay out there. So I was laughing about
his
that.
Office is
but
the
he's
golf
so
course.
Funny himself, and I'm so oh, you know, unbelievable. I was friends with his son,
right, Ryan,
and
yeah.
I came up with Ryan Ridley in the stand-up scene in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, he wrote Renfield, this,
right? Yeah, the
Universal Monsters
Cage
universe.
Movie,
yeah, the new Nicolas Cage as a vampire for a second time movie.
Right.
And I'm just so happy for him. Also,
no.
He just did notes on the film that I wrote with a buddy.
Okay.
And so yeah, I mean, it's just that it's such a storied comedic history, right. Even into the new generation.
Yeah, when I started comedy, the first show I ever went to was him and his brother performed together, Ryan and Adam.
Really?
And then I started doing shows, and me and Ryan did a million shows before he went to Chicago.
Wow! Yeah, yeah. I guess he did. That makes sense that he would start in his father's club. He was always very quiet about. You know, his father owning a comedy club.
No, he had a,
of course.
We all knew him as Ryan Ridley, but when he would play like big, he actually had a stage name too. I can't remember what it was.
We got to ask him.
No, I can't remember. I think it was Ryan something. It might have been his middle name or something, like, you know, Ryan Matthew or something. And I remember coming up to him once. I go, why are you Ryan Matthew? You're Ryan Ridley. He's like, well, you know, I'm with my dad. It's a whole, you know. I was like, okay.
Yeah. It's true. But what the bummer about that is Ryan Ridley is such a good stage name. It's a bummer that he had to change it to Ryan Snard, well, Ryan Flam Hatter.
No, we always knew him as Ryan Ridley. I think there were certain things that he didn't want, you know, he didn't want people to feel. I mean, you know how talented he was.
It's a bummer, of course, but it's a bummer because, you know, he had to go by his middle name, which was Whistlepig. Yeah, and so Ryan Whistlepig is not as good.
I can't confirm that, but that might be the case.
You can't confirm it, but you also can't.
I can't remember what the stage name was. So it could have been Ryan Whistlepig. I'm going to make note of that.
Undeniable. Yeah, Ryan Whistlepig. I love that.
All right. Full five shows this week. And actually, we got a little bit of a different schedule this week with you doing the Sunday as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, the Thursday, I really enjoy Sundays being, you know, give one more shot of the weekend. Let's just keep the weekend going. Because there's something about that I really, really love.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a different weekend than our normal weekend, but it's still five shows with TJ. So
still five shows, two Friday,
and I'm looking
two Saturday.
As we record this, I'm seeing three of the five marked as sold out over on ComedyCastle.com. So hurry!
Well, let's get there.
You're listening
get
to this, people. Come on!
Yeah,
get the.
I can't wait to meet everybody at Buddy's. Oh, you know, last time I went there, I ordered Buddy's for everybody.
You did.
Staff.
That was the greatest. I gotta say.
I think I'm gonna do that again. Oh. We gotta do that again.
Well, I'll take some credit if that's okay.
Yeah, you have to. I told TJ.
I said, hey man, that was great.
If he wasn't on my podcast, you guys wouldn't be eating this sweet, sweet Buddy's pizza, sweet, sweet square.
Yeah, that's right. Well, dude, it's just a pleasure to talk to you again, man.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you for mentioning Dear Jonah.
Yeah,
and,
great.
I'm excited because I'm doing the Gentle Giant special in two weekends. But almost more importantly, I am releasing another special, The Philosophy Circus, later in the spring. So that's really worth watching now.
So you haven't are you pretty much on the road year round at this point? Is that like?
Yeah, I think you know, this year I'm going to take off July.
Okay.
Last year I did something similar because it's just so slow out there.
Right.
And then, you know, in December I took a full month off to work on a script for a movie idea that we pitched to the Russo brothers and also to Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is a, I don't know. It's a pretty great idea for a film. I don't want to.
Yeah. Don't give it away.
It's a science fiction Christmas movie.
Okay.
You can ever imagine something like that
from you. From you, I can believe it. So.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's not the craziest thing in the world, So I've been working on that. So I took some time off from that because I think this is really a special idea and it kind of needs to come to the screen. So we're working on that. And I think we might do it with Michael Bay is what I'm hoping.
That'd
but again,
great.
I, you know, nobody knows with Hollywood is just so fickle and strange. Outside of that, I'm really still grinding on the road because I'm just loving doing stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, even when I'm in New York, I live in New York City. And even when I'm in Manhattan, if I can break away, I go and I just do shows.
Wow.
You know, I'll probably do a couple shows tonight. It's just a lot of fun and it's just my favorite thing right now. And it's how I started, you know?
Yeah.
And I usually, a lot of times when I do podcasts like this or radio or television, I say, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm a stand-up comic. And I feel like Mark Ridley's, that audience knows that I'm a stand-up comic.
Sure.
But it's true. If you're listening right now and, you know, you say, well, I've seen him in film and television. He's so funny. You know, let's go see what it's all about. I started as a stand-up comedian, an improviser, and then, you know, did the acting after that. And so I really, I love how surprised people are when they come to the shows. And afterwards, like, You know, I just came because I saw you in Deadpool. Oh man, you were actually pretty funny.
Yeah, well now you like say you're known like as a stand-up.
You didn't have to say you don't have to say actually pretty. You can just say you're funny.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, you were pretty funny. I go, oh Jesus, come on, guys. But yeah, that's what's so fun is for people to kind of see me live and doing what I have always done and what I'm best at. So yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm really, really excited for another round at the Ridley Comedy Castle.
It's going to be great.
Whistle Pig Comedy Club.
Yeah, that'll be we'll call it that for the weekend. Hey, here's a quick last story. We had these guys at the club, Lou Berger. I don't know if you know who Lou Berger is, but they're a musical trio. And actually very talented guys. I don't know. One of the guys is in the Try Guys. You probably know who they are, right? The YouTube guys, Try Guys.
Anyway,
YouTuber. So one of these guys, and it's sort of his musical offshoot. And this guy, he came in and we're setting up doing his tech rehearsal. And he had a trumpet or something. And I saw you playing the trumpet. And he goes, I can play any horn or wood instrument. And then Bill, you know, Big Bill works with us. He goes, well, where's your trombone? And he goes, well, no one's going to bring a trombone on the road. And I said, well, TJ Miller brought the trombone to the Comedy Castle. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah, it was great. And he was taken aback.
He should be taken aback. He should be taken all the way aback. That's in the philosophy circus. So when that special comes
out,
people
great.
Will see that.
That's great.
But this is going to be pretty much straight up stand up and a lot of stories. This special that I'm working on is stories of, you know, the time that I smoked heroin and an experience I had on karaoke, just all kinds of things like that. And it's pretty fun.
All right.
So I'm excited for people to see it. It's a lot more personal in terms of all of that.
Well, I'm going to see you in a couple days. Everyone, get your tickets now or you're going to miss out. I don't know if we're adding the Sunday shows. I don't think we are. I don't know what's going on, but we've done that in the past. But get what's out there because I don't think there's any.
No, get what's out there. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right. You could have too much Buddy's Pizza and trip in front of the chiropractor.
You wouldn't be able to do the Sunday, right? Exactly.
All right. Hey, TJ, thanks so much.
Crackhead. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Love you. I'll see you in a couple days, man.
All right. See you.
Thanks.
Sorry. See you on Friday. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Okay,
good to talk
perfect.
To you, dude. Good to talk to you, first
of
all.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Good to hear your voice.
You can hear my voice good?
No, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you so much.
My sweet darling.
Hey, we're both still alive, so that's a good thing, right?
That's all it's going to take.
Oh, man.
Right.
But you're back again at the Comedy Castle. And I think I said this recently to a headliner. I said, you know, when you're back at the Comedy Castle every year, you're doing all right.
Yeah. Well, I think because also it's kind of one of the like nicest is maybe the wrong way to say it, but it's okay. I just tried to close. Oh, geez. Yeah. You're certainly doing well. You're certainly doing well when you're back at the Comedy Castle because it's one of the nicest of all of the you know, when you live in New York City, you don't have a lot of space because it costs so much money. So you got to kind of work it out with your wife. Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, if your wife is also a busy, high-functioning professional and you're a very loud person, which is what I've sort of been told by a myriad of sources.
I hear that all the time from my partner.
Right, exactly. When you come back to the Comedy Castle every year, you're definitely doing well because it's sort of one of the best, you know, clubs in the United States. And that's undisputable. You know, it is one of the great clubs and been around for such a long time. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I don't know, particularly for whatever reason, the people, the audience at the Comedy Castle kind of, I don't know, to me, really, I feel a lot of support there. And the only other place I feel sort of as much support is at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. because I don't know, because in Salt Lake City and in Royal Oak outside of Detroit, they love them some TJ Miller.
They do.
So I have a lot of people come up to me after the shows and say, I've seen you every year. I've seen you five times. And so I think something about it, they connect there maybe with the fact that I improvise so much. Yeah. Maybe that's because he books a lot of comedians who don't improvise as much, you know, or he, you know, the comics that perform there are sort of, you know, really running through their act and you know, want to sort of do really, really well. Because that's the other thing. I think the comics that come into town, if you're performing on that stage, you really want to kill.
Yeah.
And so I think that might be a reason that people, do you think that the comics that he books kind of are more straight material? And
well, it's certainly, you know, there to me, when I see a comedian, and again, there's exceptions to everything, and you are this exception, but, you know, you don't want somebody working on stuff when you get to the Comedy Castle. You know, people are paying money. They want to see the best a person can be. And then when we have you, it's like, it's different every time. And because it's different, and like when I say different every time, and we're going to talk about what you're doing on this tour, but you know, the late show to the early show can be different. The Friday to the Thursday to the Saturday show can be different, and things will happen during the show. And I think that's one of the reasons that not only it's like interesting to come, but also they feel like you're being real, I think, in a lot of ways on stage, and that you actually are enjoying it as much as they are. Which when
and that, yeah,
but when you're just running through it, they don't get that. But they get like, TJ's having a great time. He's meeting us. We feel like we know him. And of course, you do. You are very generous with your time after the show as well, which I appreciate.
Yeah. If people want to buy a little peanut butter or hot sauce, I try and do that meet and greet. But I I think that that's true. I think that first of all, it's absolutely undisputed. That's the second time I've used that word, but I don't think undisputable is a word, but it is.
It is now
for sure true. It's undisputable. So you cannot be a word. But I think in some ways the best thing that, that I can offer, I'm at my best when I'm improvising.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And doing, but you know, I don't always do, I don't always do crowd work, but I do improvise with the crowd.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of, I'm in my best when all of the shows are different, and they always are.
Yeah.
And I think people kind of understand that if you went and saw every show, they would all be different. I mean,
I see every show.
Some stuff. Yeah. You do see every show. So it's, I don't know. I mean, it's for me, it's kind of and the tour is the crowd sorcerer tour.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm kind of, it just made me laugh, the idea of sourcing material from the crowd.
Okay.
And for me, that's not, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? Mm-hmm. For me, that's much more of a, you know, look at this guy. This guy's, here's what I see from him. And, you know, and, this is clear that I'm going to, you know, he's going to be, he's not having a good time, and I wish you were. And that type of stuff is, I think, really helpful for me to make it different, to make every single show different. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been messing around with. It almost feels like crowd work has started to become a dirty word because so many comics are trying to do it for the clips. And it really upsets me. I don't lose a ton of sleep over it, but I haven't slept in about 2 weeks. The issue, you know, these, you know, comics are trying to crowd work. And the thing about it is they're not good at it. It's not something you can just decide to do.
Yeah.
And there are, of course, many comedians that are good at it, but the truly riffing and improvisational comedian, I think I could only list 10.
Yeah.
Maybe 15. Uh-huh. And, you know, they are, there are some good ones. I saw a guy, I haven't seen him since, but it's a guy, this kid Gavin Watts, and he's really, really good at it. And but you know, there's other people that I like that are newer comedians, and they just can't do it, you know, not in the way that I can, or Sherrod Small can, or Ian Bagg,
yeah, Ian
or
Bagg's
Ryan too. Reeves. Yeah. Yeah. So they're, but these people are actually improvising. They are not, you know, relying on stock jokes when they talk to people. Cash Levy, who I do a podcast with, cashing in with TJ Miller. Cash Levy is like unfucking believable.
Yeah.
He's just unstoppable. It's so fun to watch him. But outside of that, you know, it's, and you can see that in our podcast. Mm. I mean, in the podcast, it's just out of control. It's so amazing. But yeah, I kind of, you know, I think the thing of it is that because I'm so good at that, I just have to push through and have people understand. And the clips that I put online, I think, do show that for sure. And so that's kind of the idea behind the tour. And it's been really, really fun, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm right now wanting to video a lot of what I'm doing, try and make that. I'm going to be videoing this weekend.
Okay, yeah.
And I try and get the crowd in the video because I really want to, you know, I really want to sort of make it so that, you know, if I am talking to somebody, I want people to be able to see that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really, really fun. You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we had a clip that we've been playing, you know, leading up to your appearance of you taking the lady's phone from the front row. You know, the one that I'm talking about.
I kind of don't.
No, okay, so you take a lady's phone in the front and you go, and very sincere, and I agree with everything that you say, hey, you know, we want you to experience this. I'm going to take your phone, and, you know, you take it from her and you take it away. And then you say, we don't want to record this. This is a live thing that's happening right now. And then you point behind you and you go, yeah, I do have a guy with a giant camera right behind me, but that's for my purpose.
Yeah, that's for me. Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's from my crowd work special.
Okay, yeah, that might
which
be.
Which was in Springfield, Missouri.
That sounds
and right now,
yeah.
On my YouTube special, I have like maybe five specials. I've got Dear Jonah, the Spokane special, which is a completely improvised special about Spokane, Washington, which is hilarious because if you don't live there, you don't get the references, but somehow it's still funny. And then
How do you get the Spokane references just from being in Spokane?
Yeah. You know, I've been there a few times, but sometimes I can just go and walk around and within a day or two, I sort of have about 20 minutes of material. And if I really go after it, then I can get a full hour.
Nice.
Just from interacting with people, from learning about the city, from all that stuff. You know, in Appleton, Wisconsin, I went to the Houdini Museum.
Okay.
So in Appleton, Wisconsin, I went to the Houdini Museum, and it was so funny because I just by going there, I got about 10, 15 minutes of material.
Nice.
10, I would say 10.
Yeah.
Like kind of strong, funny minutes. And I kind of write down three ideas from there. Get on stage and then let her rip, baby. And so it very much is, that's kind of what I do, you know, and it's also, I can generate material like that sometimes. So I do something and it makes me laugh. I think like I had a story that happened last night and I think it's going to go in the, I think it's going to go in my act, but it is just this kid. Jay ran up after me and said, hey, are you TJ? Yeah. Oh my God, that's so amazing. I'm such a huge fan of yours. I love everything you do. I love your movies. I love television. I love your stand-up. You know, I heard you say The Stand and I thought, okay, comedy club comedy. And then I heard your voice. I said, oh my God, that's gotta be him. So I just wanted to say that. I go, well, you know, he had his camera out. I go, do you want a picture? He goes, oh yeah, absolutely. That's okay. That'd be awesome. And then you take a picture and I go, you know what? I'm actually headed to The Stand right now to do a spot. Do you want to come with me and I'll walk you in? And he was like, no. And so that was so funny to me. So I, of course, you know, I do that. It's self-deprecating.
Yeah.
It felt like I felt like I was getting rejected from like a girl or something. And so I just delve into that. So that's great. So I think I'll probably start my NFT special with that. And that's the other thing. It's like, I'm always trying to do sort of the, you know, I'm always trying to innovate and do. And so the next thing that I'm working on is I'm going to do a special based on a, I'm going to do a special based on the blockchain.
Okay.
And I'm going to release it as an NFT.
Okay.
And have sort of editions of it. And no one's ever done that before. That'll be the first NFT special because most people don't know what the fucking NFT is.
I know a little bit, but just...
Yeah, well, you're smart and, you know, you pay attention and you like to learn.
Yeah.
So most people don't. And so I'm kind of, you know, I'm excited about that and I'm working on that. So the, people will see that material. It's only about, I don't know, 10. Yeah, I think it's going to be a 10-minute special.
Okay.
You might... actually divided into like 90-second clips or whatever. But you know, that's something that I'm working on right now, and I might add that story to the front of that because it's just so funny. Yeah. And then I kind of put that set together, and again, this is the first NFT special that there's been. It's about a 15-minute special is the idea.
Or, okay.
Yeah, with full laughs. I did it in front of 8 people last night at the Comic Strip Live, and that set only went 12 minutes because there was no laughter.
Yeah.
Not even by the 3 ratchet unemployed chicks in the front row eating hot dogs. So that's really funny. So I'm kind of, I'm always kind of working on stuff, but at the end of the day, the thing that I do the best is most certainly improvisation and just getting up there and just riffing. So that'll be a lot of what happens this weekend. It's just sort of really interacting with the audience, talking about stuff that happened in Royal Oak.
Yeah.
I think I need to go to Detroit.
Yeah.
This time. How far away is Royal Oak from Detroit?
Oh, if you got like an Uber or something, like 15 minutes.
Yes, I think I'm going to go to downtown Detroit this time and really kind of feel out what that's like.
Sure.
And then get some material from there, you know. But about 15 minutes of my act this time is going to be, you know, this NFT special and trying to hone that because I've got 5 shows. And it's so rare that... I do 5 shows now. There's a lot of places where I only do 3 shows, and I doubt Royal Oak is seeing it. But, you know, the economy is kind of not great right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's interesting because it really, really is a luxury item to go and see a comedy show because it costs a lot of money. I mean, there's a 2-drink minimum at the Comedy Castle, right?
It's a 2-item minimum. So you can have food
2-item minimum
and a drink. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that gets to be pricey. Mm-hmm. And my tickets are pretty expensive. And so you really got a situation where you're looking at, you know, at least $100 as a date.
Yeah.
And there's a lot less expensive dates that you can have, you know, and you're thinking about dinner before the show, or you're definitely going out after the show. If you got a kid, you need a babysitter, or you're asking for a favor. And so that's kind of, you know, when my tickets are anywhere from $35 to $45, it's a big ask of the audience, but they always have a good time. And I hear that all the time. People afterwards go, oh man, I got to tell you, like, you know, I had a hard day at work and we were just thinking, let's just chill. And maybe, you know, maybe this was going to be a lot. And everyone goes, oh, I'm so glad I came, man. I couldn't stop cracking up and I feel so good. To me, it's like everybody, if you have just the ability to go to one thing a week or a month, a stand-up show should be, there's no better way to get high and feel good than a comedy show.
Yeah.
I mean, marijuana is excellent. Getting shit-faced is awesome too. But you're not waking up the next day. You just feel so good coming out of a show.
Yeah.
So I always encourage people. I say, well, if you came and you liked my show, come and see another show. You know, don't sleep on the idea that if you came once a month, you'd be a lot happier person.
Yeah, and some people do that. We have regulars, and then we have...
Well, and that is something about the Comedy Castle, yeah. Is the booking, the room is explosive. People love it, you know?
Well,
And so, of course, they're coming back. They have that history. It's like the St. Louis Funny Bone, which I just started playing, which is a great club. It's really people... I had a guy come to go, oh, this is so great, man. This is my first show. And my dad took me, and his dad took him to shows.
Oh, wow.
And on his 18th birthday, he took my dad. And it's like, wow, you know, I mean, that's 40 years of history. And like, what other clubs have been able to do that?
Right.
It has to be, everything has to line up. Mm-hmm. The room has to be perfect, which you guys have moved a couple times.
Yeah.
The booking has to be impeccable, and the service and the items offer, everything has to be perfect for a comedy club to last however many years. I mean, how long is the Comedy Castle? It's got 40 years, 40, right?
45 this year. Yeah. It started in 79. Yeah.
I mean, that is just so amazing. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I don't know how business has been this year, but it just doesn't feel like you guys are going anywhere soon.
No, that's not the plan. Yeah. And we're having, in fact, you know, starting last year, we went to, you know, six nights a week, many weeks, not all weeks, but, you know, we'll have different headliners in there on Sunday and Tuesday and Wednesday before, you know, guys like you come in and do the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So,
wow. Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not the case other places. Other places are, I'm telling you, some of these Funny Bones, I'm just doing three shows.
Yeah.
And I don't miss the Late Show Friday.
No.
You know, I think I like doing sets. Yeah. So I wish I was doing a fourth set. Mm-hmm. But that show can often just be damage control. And, you know, I don't want to be a guy who poo-poos any shows or clubs. But some of these clubs are, it's fucking hard on that Late Show. They're just fucking drunk.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work for what I do,
right,
because
right.
when I open up to the audience, if they're drunk, they just, I'm not going to get anything right. good. I'm only going to get the tough stuff, you know?
You certainly make that connection with the people and you know, they've been coming for, I don't know how many years now at our club, but I mean, gotta be going more than five, right? Six, 7 years you've been coming to the club.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I'm 42. Yeah, I've been going since I was in my early 30s. So
yeah.
I think maybe even more like, you know, 10 years
seven or eight years
or something. But it's just great. And it's always a good time. And the audience knows kind of not to be too. But the last time I was there, we got some great stuff with this guy that, you know, was almost being kind of racist when talking about taking his kids to get fried chicken in the black neighborhood. And it was, you know, that was really, really fun for me to kind of, you know, mess around with that guy and with the audience. And, you know, your audiences at the castle are sort of more, they're sort of more respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're necessarily more reserved, but it's unlike anywhere else.
Yeah,
I'd say about the Comedy Castle.
Well, that's great. We're so excited to have you. Are you,
and there's going to be plenty of peanut butter and
peanut
hot
butter.
Sauce
so
available.
People stop yeah. by after get their peanut butter hot sauce thing. I know it sells out often. So
yeah, it really does.
It really
people
does.
Love peanut butter and Michigan. Yeah. And it's going to be fun to go and visit Detroit, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a really, I think it's going to be great shows for sure.
All right. I got to just one last thing. We'll let you go on this. Are you having chicken tenders when you come to Detroit? Is that your thing? I know that's a thing you like to do.
I, you know, it's Stavros that talks about going on a tender bender, but it happened a little while ago. I was vegan for five weeks, and I'll be talking about that.
Okay.
In the show. Some really funny stuff that came out of that. But you know, I kind of, I got into a kick where I was like, you know, every club has chicken tenders and most of them aren't great.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, just because they're free, I love chicken tenders, but just because they're free doesn't mean I should be eating chicken tenders that aren't great. But you guys, you don't have chicken tenders, right?
We don't, but we can. We, you know, I know you've had them at Buddy's Pizza, which they're very good there.
Yeah.
And we have.
What are you recommending? Do you have another place that's
sure.
good?
Sure. I'm gonna recommend Savvy Sliders. Meaning
Savvy Sliders.
They're a burger place, and they also have really great, very sort of thick, freshly made chicken tenders.
I hope you'll come with me.
Yes,
it'll be my treat.
Dude, I would love to have chicken tenders with you. It's a date.
Consider it done. And I'm gonna you gotta get Buddy's Pizza.
Yeah,
it's
you got
just
to.
The best Detroit style. And there's great, we have a place called Lions, Tigers, and Squares.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's a Detroit style mm-hmm. pizza. They got a couple of locations here.
Yeah.
Think of it as our Jets pizza.
Yeah.
But it's better quality. It's closer to Buddy's. Mm-hmm. And I love Detroit style pizza. I lived in Chicago, so I was late to the party with the Detroit style. But boy, is it so good. And that original Buddy's is just so, I don't know. There's something cool about that place.
You went to the 6 Mile one when you were in town.
Yes,
that's the original one. Yeah. I went there the other day, got a carry out for me and the old lady. It was wonderful.
That's great. So well, it'll be so good. I'm kind of sad. We had somebody retire, right? Last year or this year?
Our general manager, Mary, retired, in the middle of last year.
That's right. So I'm gonna miss her. Although even she was kind of telling me, like, I'm over it. Like, I got to get out of here. You know, she was there for, how long was she there for?
You know what? I couldn't even tell. I don't think she was there from the beginning, but she,
no,
she,
not
start,
the beginning.
She started as a waitress. I do know that. So she worked her way.
I think she's been there. I feel like she told me like 35 years.
I think that's
like
probably
that.
The case. Yeah.
And so, and she's been there for multiple occasions. And so you're losing that and having Mark kind of, you know, not being around as much because he's at retirement age where he wants to be, you know, in Florida and doing that. So it's kind of a change of the guard, but I think you're a big, you know, you're a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always love seeing you.
And Mark, Mark is around even if he's not in the building. You know what I mean? He's always there.
He's always watching.
I can assure you. Listen, Mark does what he loves, and here's what he loves to do. He loves to play golf, and he loves to book comedy. He loves to book the shows. We hired a guy named Bill Bouchard, who's a really funny comic, to do a lot of the booking. But Mark still talks to all the headliners and all the agents. He loves it. He can't give it up. He can't quit.
No, and I don't blood. Think he will.
No, it's in his blood.
It is true. You know what?
And we're lucky. We're lucky to have that. Blood. We're lucky to have a guy that knows the business like he does, running it, you know?
No, nobody knows it better.
Yeah, nobody does. All right, TJ. Well, let's...
thank you so much.
Thank you, man. And I know we had to squeeze this in today, and we both got things going on, but thank you so much for talking to me.
Your things are a little cooler than mine, but I'll see you, and here we go on a tender bender, the two of us.
Tender bender! It's coming up this weekend.
We're not going to tell them.
Sounds great, TJ. I'll see you this weekend, buddy.
Savvy Sliders. Okay, all right,
Savvy
Joel.
Sliders.
Bye,
later. There you go. It was about an hour of TJ Miller right there. Come on. How great was that? He's so wild, man. You never know what's going to happen. You're calling him. I think one of the Tom McCarthy interviews, you can go back on Comedy Castle podcast, listen to that. There was a hotel maid vacuuming or something when he came in. There's always chaos around him, but it's a lovely chaos around TJ Miller. So come out this weekend. Tickets are really getting hard to come by. Again, I've been scrolling around on the Comedy Castle website there, trying to see what's available. And, the Thursday show has some tickets available. I saw that. I'm sure the Friday ones, probably the Late Show Friday, would be a good one to get at this point. But go to ComedyCastle.com. Look for your tickets on there. You can scroll through. You can take a look at Zoom in, look at the table. Some of them, there's only one or two tickets per table. Some of them, there's more than that. Looking at Thursday, you want those two tops in the back? Those are pretty coveted tables. 62 to 67, they're all available right now. So anyway, come out for TJ Miller this weekend. You're going to have a great time. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these interviews as much as I have. And always inspired by TJ, looking forward to a very fun, very exhausting weekend. And thanks to you guys for listening. Again, if you haven't, add us on Instagram, Comedy Castle Pod,
or Comedy Castle Podcast on Facebook. Add us on social media to get your updates on when the shows go up. That always helps spread the word about this show. Thanks to all you guys for listening. Thanks to Bill Bouchard, who helps out with booking some of these guests for me. Thanks, as always, to Mark Ridley, the man behind the Comedy Castle, for being a great dude and supporter of this very podcast that he helps produce. And thanks to everybody for listening. It's been a blast. Looking forward to TJ. Hope to see you there. Say hi to me. Come on. I'll be there. Working the door. Telling you to turn your phones off at the beginning. That's all me. Come on, people. I can do it all. Thanks for listening. See you at the club. Bye-bye.